University, the voice of Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LeShock.
Hey, I'm Orly LeShock.
And I'm Leora Baxt.
And we don't have our amazing editor here today, but we miss her.
And we love you. You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity.
This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms.
And everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just the facts about mental health.
Let's talk about it.
Are you feeling scrambled today?
I'm feeling a little scrambled, but I think this episode is really going to chill me out. I really do.
I think so too. This week, we're going to dive into weed.
Its effects, the positive, the negatives, and the craziest fucking munchies of all time.
So, Leora, when was the first time you smoked weed?
Wow, the first time, it was actually such like a pure quaint night moment, whatever. It was 11th grade, I must have been 17, and my siblings were like, it was my oldest sister and my brother at the time, and they were like, it's the night, it's happening tonight, and I was like, fuck yeah.
It's like your inauguration.
literally that, and obviously my mom was in the house, so like, oh, whatever. We were being a little sketchy, so they grabbed the joint and they grabbed a seltzer. Why, you ask? Because apparently seltzer helps with like the taste and just like what's going down your throat for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, so we went to our front yard, we went to the driveway, we sat in a circle, it was so kumbaya, and they gave me the joint. And they're like, you're going to need like two, three hits, okay? Oh, God, so how far I've come.
Two hits into a different universe.
Two hits in a... Dude. I smoked. And I'm so happy I remember it my first time because, like, I know a lot of people don't. But I hit it, whatever, the effects were coming. I wasn't feeling it. And then, boom, we all get up. We walk into my front door. I can't hear anything, but I'm also not like greening out or tripping out, but I'm like on the couch. My mom's saying things. I don't know what she's saying. I don't remember though, like what I ate that night, but like it was a really solid experience. And I'm really happy that I did it with my siblings because it was just like fucking, it was just a good experience. It was just fun. And I'm hoping my mom doesn't know that night. But I'm sure she does.
I'm sure she does because every time I had to walk back into my house high as fuck, literally, having a conversation with my mom was the hardest thing. And she'll be like, why are your eyes so red?
And you'd be like, I'm just tired. I've been crying.
Yeah, you gotta make up a whole sob story.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
It's a great story.
Thank you.
And with your siblings, that's comforting.
It was very comforting. Yeah, for the circumstances. All right, you, Arlene, what was your first story? I'm sure this is going to be interesting.
I was in ninth grade. Towards the end, I was still 14. Crazy, I started
Jesus.
So young. Yeah, really young.
No judgment. Judgment
a little zone. Bit of judgment for myself, but whatever. I was with my best friend at the time, and we went, and her brother is my brother's best friend, so we went into his room, found a cart, a pen, and we took some hits, and I was like, "What is this feeling? Like,
oh,
I've
so
never
your first time
like
was,
this
was like a pen?
Yeah,
wasn't.
It wasn't bud.
Okay, sick.
But I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
And we went to her garage, and we took some snacks, whatever, classic. And we're sitting in her garage, and all of a sudden, I look up, I see the biggest fucking rat of all time.
I'm tripping out.
And I just couldn't contain my laughter. We made TikToks, whatever. My parents pick me up. I'm high as balls. They're family friends in the backseat with me trying to make conversation. I'm like, just act normal. The whole 10 minutes ride home.
You were definitely not acting normal.
I was not acting normal. I came home. I don't know what got into me. I ate
your
an
mom
entire...
didn't say anything?
Nothing. Not a word.
I ate an... It, this was like post-Shabbat. Like,
maybe she didn't know. Maybe she just didn't know.
Maybe she didn't know, but she told me after she knew.
okay, she knew.
I ate an entire bag, like one of the bigger bags of Trader Joe's Bamba. I went to sleep, best sleep of my life.
Wait, side point, Trader Joe's makes Bamba?
Yeah.
Wow, is it better than literally Israeli Bamba?
Just, no.
Okay, good to know. Wait, that's really crazy. You were so young.
Yeah.
Holy crap, you were so freaking young. What did that mean for you at such a young age?
It literally meant that a week after my first time smoking, I had everything to become a full-blown stoner. I knew how to roll. I had my own bud. I had my own pen. Like, it was really unhealthy. And I had, like, it was like my two best friends were already stoners at the time. And then I had my older brother who was like, I'll for sure get you weed, you know?
Right. Fuck that.
Yeah, he's apologized to me now. I was really young.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of enablers in my life.
Yeah.
It kind of went into this 10th grade, like, okay, so the first best friend moved, and then 10th grade, it was just me and the other girl, and full-blown stoners, probably the best year of my high school experience. It was so fun.
But you didn't remember it.
But I literally blocked out everything from before and everything from that year. And I was just getting to this point where it would take me 3 days to get through a car alone, which is crazy. Like, whatever, really crazy. I would go to my dealer's house, pick up every Sunday. Every Sunday, I would go pick up an ace.
How old was this dealer?
He was actually my next door neighbor that I grew up with, but I never actually met him. Like, his pool was like right next to my old pool. No, not Jewish.
Oh, okay.
But, like, we shared a fence. So convenient. When we were really little, like, they would taunt us through the fence. And I spoke to him about it. We would joke around about it. He was a mad chiller. He was probably, like, 30.
Okay.
20 older 20s. I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sketchy happened, don't worry, except for the fact that he sold me drugs, but like
right, yeah, nothing else sketchy.
Anyways, I think because I started so young, when I got to my gap year, first of all, Israeli weed just made me so anxious.
Yeah.
But at that point I was just like,
ugh, wait, another side point. I wish I was there. I wish we were friends. Side point, we went on Bar-Ilan together. We weren't friends in the beginning of the year. I wish I had that experience.
Right.
We'll explain later.
The beginning of the year, I was smoking.
Yeah.
And I would just get so anxious every time. I would immediately go into my room and just ride out the high because I didn't want to be high. I kind of felt like I was out of control because it was a new environment, new people.
Yeah.
And the weed was hitting me very differently. I wasn't calm anymore. I was thinking about the way I was, like, sitting, the way I was talking. Like, am I talking right? Am I sitting right? Am I controlling myself? It was such a weird feeling that I had not really experienced with weed before. But it kind of reached a point where, like, the beginning of Bar-Ilan, still a month or two in, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I pretty much stopped for good.
That's really awesome. Good for you. Really good for you. I mean, obviously, it took you a long time and a lot of realizations and just, like, going through the motions. I'm sure if you'd try it then, you would have tried it now.
Yeah, of course.
But
I think I took it from one, like, maximum to a whole, like, the other end of the stick of the minimum where it's, like,
nothing.
There's no middle ground.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes really now, I remember the feeling of being chilled out and smoking recreationally and having fun.
You might get to that point when you're married, but
I hope so.
Right now,
I hope so. It's not a bad thing
that you don't have it in your life. I think it's actually a great thing.
Right.
It's
not a bad thing, but it's also kind of a social thing now.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I agree. But I find that more people are stopping, you know.
Yeah, more and more.
More and more.
People I talk to like really relate to the, all of a sudden it turned into an anxiety.
I think it's just age. Also, I think it's just age. I think it's just like, yeah, I've shit to do. I have priorities, and like, if you were once smoking through the day, like you can't go to your meeting or you can't present your presentation if you're high.
Presentation. And then I got high. Okay, Leora, tell me a little bit about your timeline.
My timeline. It's a little different than yours. But it's still going. In 11th grade, I dabbled. When my siblings showed it to me, I just dabbled around. They were very good about like not giving me when they were going to smoke a joint outside. It was very infrequent. And then I started realizing my friend smoked. And like that became a conversation. And like I'd go to my friends and we'd smoke. And it was honestly like peak moment because that's when it was fun. You like late at night, you went outside, you smoked a joint, came back, you made the craziest snacks and like you passed out. Obviously, you felt like absolute shit in the morning, but the night was fun.
So cloudy.
Whatever. So 11th, that was 11th grade. Obviously, COVID hit. So I was spending a lot more time with my siblings. And then they obviously were like, we feel bad for her. But that's not a good response from them. But anyway, 12th grade came along and I was just smoking throughout the year, but I had my own pen. So it wasn't really bud. I like once or twice stole some bud and like tried to roll myself a joint. You should see me on my like carpet floor, all the weed falling off. Like I couldn't roll a joint. I watched the video 20,000 times. I'm a fucking pro now.
Yeah, she's literally, I was about to say she's an extra. She rolls the most beautiful Jazer artwork.
Whatever.
not to toot her own horn.
Yeah, but no, not and then honestly, like Bar Ilan hit my gap year and I smoked every day. Like it wasn't during the day and I'm still, whatever. Anyway, I was smoking every day. It was a little more gross on Bar Ilan just because like it was just a gross environment.
It's kind of like summer for your, everyone was smoking nonstop.
And it was just a gross, like, you know, your dorms were gross. It wasn't like you're going back into like nice air. Like it was just gross.
Yeah.
You never had snacks. Camp for a year. Yeah, it was camp for a year. And like from then on, like I've just been ongoing with like weed and I've, you know, I've spoken about it with a lot of people that I just need to cut down, but not in the sense of your story where it's like it's becoming an anxiety thing. Like I just think that the healthy choice is to not be doing it all the time. And I also just, I enjoy it and I enjoy just like vibing out and not even with like socially, like on my own, like one at night with a cup of tea, like really. So like
it's better than like a glass of wine at the end of every night,
you know? So like, yeah. So now that's it's not a crazy story, but like that's my timeline and I really hope to like moderate. Like I think I need to moderate, and yeah, that's the word. Everything in moderation is key, and I think I'm learning that, learning more so now with weed. Yeah, I think I just need to like figure out a way, because I don't think I'm a bum and an addict, but I think I'm like, I don't know what the word is. You're with me every day. What's the word?
I think you're a little bit reliant on it.
Yeah. But it's not for, like, anxiety. Like, if I'm having an anxious day, I'm not like, oh, I need to go smoke a joint.
No, of course not. But you know? Also, like, I think a lot of the times, not just you, but, like, when people are bored, they're like,
yeah,
I'm just going to smoke a J right
it's
now.
It's boredom.
It's literally boredom.
It's fully boredom. Because it really does take up, like, two hours of your day.
Yeah.
In a sense. Which is, like, not a good habit to make at all. Oh, I'm bored. I'm going to smoke.
Right. I like the thing you mentioned about not being a bum, because I think a lot of people have the common misconception that the minute you smoke weed, you're just bum. You're bumming out. And that could happen for a lot of people.
Of course.
It's not to say, but some of my best essays in high school were written when I was high off my rockers.
Yeah.
Like, let me just say there's difference. Like, you could be a productive stoner and you can be a bummy.
Functional high.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to call
functional
it.
Functional high. I like that. Yeah. We talk about that a lot of like, you can still get shit done. It's just about, I think the moderation thing goes into that of like, you should be doing your things and then maybe at the end of the day, smoking a joint.
Yeah.
To reward yourself.
Yeah, it is. It's reward. It's reward. It's like work and reward. But I also think people need to know that like, I'm on both ends. So like, I'm on the end of like, you can be productive and you really can do your thing. Like, I've cleaned my entire house, I've cooked meals, I've read, I've written in my journal, I've typed essays, like, and didn't do so badly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people like to push that aside and be like, yeah, I can do that, so it's fine. But like, you have to understand, like, if you're not smoking weed during the day or maybe even most days of the week, you're probably going to be 10 times more productive than you think.
It's also about like an energy type of thing. I just found that like when I smoked weed, I would wake up already cloudy and like kind of, it's not a bummy thing, but it's more so I don't have so much energy versus when I stopped smoking weed, I saw like, it's kind of weird phenomenon, but like I kind of started seeing life with more color.
Yeah,
everything was
that.
A little less dull.
Yeah.
And it was really a nice shift for me because I was so extreme about it.
Yeah.
And now I'm on the other end of that stick of like, I don't touch it at all because it gives me anxiety. But like, I really learned a new way to love life, you know, sober.
And that's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice to just shift that. But again, like, I'm so for smoking recreationally and in moderation and understanding the difference of, am I doing it because I'm bored or, like, is this actually a good time to smoke? You know, am I with friends or am I constantly alone when I do it?
Yeah.
It's about asking yourself questions before you do it just to keep yourself a little bit in check.
Yeah, a lot in check, honestly.
Yeah.
I remember Orly giving me a challenge when we were back in the States before we came back. And she was like, every time you hang out with me, don't smoke. And I was like, but we hang out all the time. And she's like, exactly.
Not that it's a problem. I really
it's gotten also a little better,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, of course. And I think also, like, once a stoner, not to toot my own horn, once a stoner, you're always able to join the sesh and vibe out.
You're always on our energy, like, our wavelength.
Maybe,
like,
a little bit more sometimes. But, like, yeah, I feel like I can vibe out.
Yeah. No, you're definitely chill. Yeah, no, I think all in all, moderation is very, very, very crucial, especially for, I mean, everything in life, but especially for any type of drug, any type of leaf, plant,
herb, ganja, marijuana.
And yeah, it's really important you keep yourself in check. It's really important that you make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and make sure you're really honest with yourself, because I know that it can be a reliant and it can be a fallback when you're sad, angry, happy, anxious. Like, I've been there before. Not to say that, like, you know, it's not so frequent now, but, like, really, really, really make sure you're doing all this stuff in moderation, because you don't want to fall into a trap.
100%. I think also weed was my main thing I turned to when I was at my lowest in high school. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm sad, I'm crying, I want to smoke right now.
Yeah.
And that wasn't fair to myself because it almost numbed me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, at one point or another, you have to deal with your shit. You have to deal with your feelings. And, like,
yeah,
I'm not saying you can't turn to weed sometimes when you're feeling a certain type of way, but you shouldn't. Weed should be an extracurricular, so to say. It should be
exactly. Something
extra. It shouldn't be fun. The thing you turn to as your therapy, quote unquote.
100%. And if you find that you're doing that, just reach out for help. I know I've done that. I know Orly's done that. I think it's really important. And it's not embarrassing at all.
It's not embarrassing at all, and you'd be surprised how many people can relate to exactly what you're going through, whether it's Leora's journey or mine or literally your own. Like, people relate.
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about before we get into the munchies is some of our crazy weed stories. I feel like I have a couple. I went to Copenhagen with my family, and all the cousins were, like, smoking. My cousin had brought a cart for each of us, and he said, you finish this and you're done. Like, you have to make this last the entire cruise. And we were all stoners, fiends, whatever you want to call it. Before we get on the cruise, we go to this little town in Copenhagen. I don't remember what it's called, but it's there's one rule in the town. There, you're not allowed to take pictures. That's the one rule. Everything goes. Every drug goes, like, people just do whatever they want. You're not allowed to take pictures.
So we went.
It was really crazy. There was really cool graffiti everywhere, like, people on insane drugs. It's something like I've never seen before.
A town for festival people, basically.
Yeah. And this was around, like, my beginning of my smoking era. I started, what, like,
you were
3 months
I'm in
before?
Disneyland.
I literally felt like Candyland, dude. My cousin packed me a bowl of Copenhagen weed, hash, and oil. I was high for 8 hours, and we had to meet all the parents after.
Holy shit.
We all show up to this dinner scarfing food down our faces. My mom told me 2 years later, I knew you were high as balls. Like, it was so fun. It was so funny.
Holy crap. That's so good.
But, like, in the moment, I was just, like, freaking out. I was like, what if my mom knows? She knew.
She knew.
Don't underestimate your parents. A lot of the times, they don't want to say something, because if they say something, they have to deal with it. So.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I have a crazy story, because I probably forgot all of them. I have. Oh, shit. I don't know. I think, like, one funny one, and I don't really remember it, but like my siblings have told this to me from time and time again, and they will not drop it. It was also the beginning of me getting high, so like in the beginning, whatever. And we were outside in our backyard and we smoked a joint. And I must have smoked a lot. I didn't get, like, I wasn't nauseous or, like, greened out, whatever. We ended up all sitting down on the floor together. Like,
kumbaya?
Like, by the wall. Like, we're all just, like, laying our backs on the wall and, like, our feet up. I don't know why there were chairs right next to us. And apparently, I was telling a story. I was like, oh my God, you know, like, what's up? What's up? And they both looked at me, like, simultaneously looked at me and were like, were you just speaking? For like, you know, like I was telling a whole story and apparently no words actually came out of my mouth. So be safe, kids.
Be safe. One last thing I want to touch upon is edibles.
Oh.
One thing I stopped doing before I stopped fully smoking was edibles. I ate an entire chocolate bar. I don't know how many milligrams. I literally called my best friend Ellie and I was like, I'm so high, like, my heart's gonna jump out of its socket. I'm not waking up tomorrow. Like, I literally came to terms with the fact that, like, I was just too high.
Oh my God.
I woke up the next day, I was high until 8 p.m.
It's horrible. That actually is, the cloudy feeling is so bad. I actually have something against edibles. Even though I do sometimes participate, I had a birthday party for my 18th birthday, and two of my best friends, like, my best friends, unfortunately, not anymore. But they took each like an absurd amount. Someone gave them like food, like a brownie or some stupid thing, and they both greened out. And they ended up coming like 30 minutes later, an hour later, but they were in the bathroom puking. And I was so upset. I was like, come on. So don't disappoint your friends by taking 200 milligrams.
Yeah, know your limits. It's really also about knowing your limits. I don't think I ever got like too high except for edibles. Edibles are freaky.
They're freaky. They're really freaky. Anyway.
Wanna start us off with the munchies?
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so we've gathered some munchie picks.
From friends, strangers.
Who knows?
Us.
The first one is quite chill. Potato chips and spicy cream cheese.
That sounds good. I would eat that now.
Yeah, I'd eat that sober.
I'm so hungry. I would eat that right now. The next one is spicy Takis or spicy Funyuns, and specifically the blue nipple Gatorade.
Yeah, like with the nipple top.
Those are the best.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty basic, but quite wild. Wasabi nuts? That was an interesting one to me.
That was a crazy one.
Like, I'm not going to my kitchen and be like, can I have some wasabi nuts right now?
I feel like that's like bar food. Like, yeah. When you're waiting for your drink, it's like you're snacking food. Even though I hate wasabi.
Okay, this one's gross, but like kind of cool. It's like a pregnancy craving.
Tuna, a lot of these are.
Tuna and wait for it, chocolate spread sandwich.
I've heard it before, honestly.
I hear the vision, and I feel like we need to try this.
I feel like I would not try that for $1 million.
You're right.
And then we got some of the like the classic Ben and Jerry's cookies and cream. You can't go wrong. I would go cookie dough, personally.
Yeah.
But cookies and cream is a good one. Pizza with pepperoni. I personally don't eat pepperoni, but...
If you do, you do. And if that's your munchie, enjoy.
Yeah. I think I'd switch out pepperoni for pineapple.
I love pineapple. Get off this podcast if you hate pineapple.
Pineapple on pizza is elite. And
you never tried
everyone
it.
Everyone knows that. Apples and peanut butter. I would munch apples and peanut butter. I always like forget peanut butter exists.
Yes.
And then I get into it for like a month.
We love it. Okay, so mine. Listen, obviously I had more extravaganza ones when I was younger and amateur. Not saying I am not anymore, but I would do like I would just like get whatever in my fridge. I'd get frosting and chocolate and maybe even make my own cookie dough and like all this stuff. Now my go-to is literally the biggest bowl of honey bunches of oats, the almond kind. And I'm a psychopath, so I don't drink a lot of milk with my cereal, so it can't be like overflowing with milk. That's my favorite.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Mine used to be blue Gatorade, specifically nipple bottle. If you know, you know.
You know, you know.
Sour Patch Kids and Doritos.
Why do you look like that? Like you look like your munchies.
Sour Patch Kids.
No, you look like your munchies.
Like my munchies combined.
Yeah. Wow, I feel like they they really represent us.
We just want to end off with an egg fact.
And now's our egg fact. Thank you for listening to our munchies. I hope you try some of these.
Yeah, pretty good. Get some inspo.
Yeah.
Are you excited to hear this?
Are you kidding me? I'm fucking excited.
Excited. Americans eat 95 million dozen eggs per year, which equals about 279 eggs per person per year.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
297 per year?
279. Did I say 97?
Wait. I feel like I go through more cartons of eggs.
I feel like I eat like 2 eggs a day.
Yeah. And sometimes
on
3.
Yeah.
Not for me.
On the average.
Interesting. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed.
Smoke responsibly. Dare to do drugs.
Don't be a hero, guys. All right.
Thanks for listening to Sunny Side Up.
And
have a good day.
Have a great day.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaChapelle.